control through great effort or to take control. So when you conquer something, you overcome the obstacles or you overcome the what's standing in the way. And Scripture teaches us that we can be more than conquerors. And the question could be asked, well, how does that come about? And how do we become more than conquerors? And as I was thinking about this message and for some time and thinking about the Bible school students going to Bible school, and if I counted right, I think there's 15 leaving Sotar here, and there could be some other visitors here that are Bible school students. So I actually want to dedicate this message to the Bible school students, those that may have come back from Bible school and those that are planning to go. But in essence, we're all in Bible school. So we invite you all to listen in. But this message, I am going to talk a little bit or quite a bit about Bible school, and I want the Bible school students to pay attention and to follow after in the Scripture and see what God has for us. As I was thinking about this message, I came across this article that there's two men that climbed El Capitan rock cliff in Yosemite National Park in January here, and they climbed it with what they call free climbing. And as I read, and I wanted to find out what that meant, and that meant they climbed the rock cliff with their fingers and their toes alone, and the rope was only used for safety. And it took them 19 days to climb that mountain. They ate and slept on that mountain, on the rock cliff. And it just was intriguing to me because I was there. I saw that mountain. I watched mountain climbers. And they actually accomplished this. Nobody else ever has done this. It's the first time that ever happened in that somebody climbed that mountain with fingers and toes. And a lot of times, some of the crevices that they hold on to are no bigger than the size of a dime. And their fingers get raw. And as I thought about that and how I connected with this message and being more than conquerors, you could think like they, in their own minds, they believe, they feel like they conquered that mountain. But the Scripture teaches us here that we can be more than conquerors. So what does that mean? And I had to think of preparation. You know, the mountain climbers, they put a lot of preparation with gear and exercise and food and water, medical supplies. They map out their route before they engage themselves in climbing the mountain. These men spent 7 years studying and preparing for this occasion. 7 years is a long time. And there was perseverance. There's many times that they were climbing and their fingers would slip off the crevices and they would fall back down a couple hundred feet and they needed to reclimb. And they kept doing that for 19 days to finally they reached the top. And then they finished their course. And I want to bring some of those ideas in as we look at God's word in our Christian life and how we become more than conquerors. Romans chapter 8, I want to read verses 35 through 39. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on these verses in defining what all these aspects of these verses mean. But we want to move on to some other practical things and how we can be conquerors or more than conquerors. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or a peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, how do we become more than conquerors? The only way that we can be more than conquerors is we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, because in his death and resurrection, he became a conqueror. He became more than a conqueror. So therefore, we need to enter into that relationship. It enables us to live victoriously in this evil world. We not only abstain from evil, but we overcome evil with good. That's more than a conqueror. We not only abstain from being angry or being resentful or being with somebody, but we love them and return good for evil. That's how we become more than conquerors. You know, there's a lot of people may abstain from from doing evil. It's just like a customer came in our store this past week, and he said he was angry about a piece of, he bought something at our store, and it didn't work right. And he said he was very angry with the person that was accompanied him on the project, and he said, I felt like fisting him, but he didn't. So he didn't do wrong, but he had those intent, he had those desires. For a Christian, is it possible for us to overcome that desire to hit somebody? Is that, just think about that. And I think that's what this scripture is talking about, being more than conquerors. Also, as we look at the various aspects of this verses, all the distress and the persecution and the hardships and all the difficulties of life, he's saying that we do not allow the things of life to cause us to grow cold and indifferent and weak in our Christian lives. It's very possible we face all these issues, and it could be different ones for different people. We can grow weary, and we can become battle worn, and we can give up, and we say, "Well, it's not working for me." But Paul teaches here that we can be more than conquerors. How was Paul more than a conqueror? Go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2, verse 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He's saying here that I'm crucified with Christ. I'm dead to the things of the world, but yet I'm alive. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And here he brings out the fact that this is not just mere willpower that we have, or that we just put a lot of energy into doing what's right, or a lot of energy into overcoming evil. But he's saying, as I submit my heart to Christ, as I accept his lordship, Christ works in me, and that's what enables me to live for Christ. And therefore, Christ receives the glory. Those men that climbed that mountain, they received a lot of glory for their accomplishment. Actually, they got a message from President Obama recognizing their achievement. That's an earthly reward. That's temporal. Maybe I don't know what all their rewards will be, but it's simply earthly. But when we become more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, we have a heavenly reward. And we will receive that. And we'll look at that a little later. But Christ receives the glory. Now, the other aspect about being more than conquerors is that we have a cloud of witnesses. If you go to Hebrews chapter 12, you know, we're not in this alone. There's people who have been faithful before. Those men that accomplished that mountain, nobody ever did that what they did before. They had no crowd of witnesses that said that we did it, you can do it also. But here we have in Hebrews 12, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Here we have a cloud of witnesses. You read Hebrews 11, people that made it through, people that received a crown of life. If they can, we can. And that can be very encouraging to us. So, how do we become more than conquerors? Is it something that we need to do? I talked about how Christ is the one that enables us to be more than conquerors. There is something that we need to do. We have opportunities. And talking to the youth here that are going to Bible school and everybody that's here, I think Ira mentioned in his prayer, I picked up that word opportunity. We have an opportunity this morning to hear God's word. And we can either use that opportunity for his honor and glory and to be more than conquerors, or we can just do nothing. We become exposed to God's word. In Bible school, you students are going to be exposed to God's word. You're going to be surrounded with good friends. You're going to have Bible teaching. You're going to spend time in prayer. You're going to have worship. You're going to have preaching. And you have opportunity to grow in your Christian life. You have opportunity to drive those stakes deeper, a deeper commitment, settled and grounded in the word of God. You have opportunity if you're struggling in your Christian life, you have opportunity to share with somebody and open your heart up and receive strength and encouragement. The opportunities are unlimited at Bible school. You have an opportunity to have a deeper understanding in God's Word. Now, there's something about opportunity, is that it cannot be erased. It cannot be removed. Once you have an opportunity, once I have an opportunity to be exposed to God's Word, I can't remove that. I can't say, well, I never was exposed. I never had God's Word. I never heard the preaching. You can't say, I never was at Bible school. Opportunity is something you can't remove. It's given to you, and it's what we do with it, is what will generate the results. So opportunity is something that is very important. We're held accountable to the opportunities we have, the exposure to God's Word. If you students go to Bible school and you come home the same, can I say that you missed the opportunity? Something should change. There should be spiritual growth. There should be a deeper understanding of God's Word. There should be a drawing closer to God. There should be a stronger prayer life. Something should improve. The same as these church services that we have. They need to make a difference in our life. If they don't, we're missing the opportunity. And we all know that there's times that we miss opportunities. We all realize that. We look in our lives and we say, God, be merciful to us. And it's the mercy of God that in our weakness that there's times that we miss the opportunities that God gives us to grow in our spiritual lives. And it's His mercy that He don't cut us off. And He gives us another opportunity. But I want to tell you this morning, we cannot live a lifetime of missing the opportunities to grow in our Christian life and expect it to turn out well at the end. We cannot live a lifetime like that. We must avail ourselves of those opportunities. We cannot live a lifetime of carelessness and coldness and lukewarmness and expect at the end of life that God will say, well done, our good and faithful servant. That won't happen, brothers and sisters. We must avail ourselves of the opportunity to grow in our Christian lives. We have the Word of God. We have the preaching, and we have Bible schools. So what is the purpose of Bible school? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 7. It says here, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise ourselves rather unto godliness. That exercise, that word exercise, it means engage yourself. You need to do something. You know, we won't become godly if we don't engage ourselves in activity that generates godliness. And that's what Bible school does. Bible school is to help you engage you into godliness. And it says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. He's saying, you know, the exercise that we get on this earth and the various things that we do that gives us exercise. You know, if you go to the hospital, they don't like you laying in the bed very long. They'll give you an operation, but then usually the next day they get you out and you get you in therapy and get you exercising. And that's all beneficial. It's very good if you have surgery on your knee or your arm or rotator cuff or wherever, and they put you in therapy and you get exercise, and that's all healthy. But he says that's profitable. That's only for this life. He says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness profiteth unto all things, having promise of the life that now is. He's saying it benefits in this life. Living a godly life is a benefit. It is. We all enjoy it. There's freedom in our spirits, and we don't need to have guilt. Guilt is not something that we enjoy. But he says there's a benefit in this life, and that which is to come, it's also for the future. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, and in faith and in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. Here Paul's telling Timothy, saying, you know, Timothy was a young man. He says, don't let anybody despise your youth. Just be zealous. Be godly. Give an exhortation and reading and in doctrine and study the Word of God. And that's why we have Bible school. That's what it's all for. Go to 2 Timothy 2. Verse 14. And in these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now, I didn't do a lot of studying what all that means. It'd be interesting to know. I think there's reasons he was talking about that. But sometimes, and it's easy for us to focus on controversial issues. And sometimes those discussions are enjoyable. I can go along with that. There's times that you can have enjoyable, and you can lay things out on the table and your questions, and you know there's really no answer to it, and you can come up with multiple answers. But he's saying here that I want to tell you something. Don't get carried away with that. There's something so much more valuable than that. And I've seen that happen with people. People that have focused on controversial issues or questions that are hard to answer. But then you wonder about their holiness. You wonder about their godliness. And you observe. So he's saying here, don't focus on those things at Bible school, but study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more, what? Ungodliness. So he's saying, go to Bible school, study God's word on the things that you know will generate godliness and holiness and simplicity and things that bring glory to God. That's what he's telling us. And that's what we need to do, and I trust that's what you desire as youth. Now, moving on, I have... for you to receive blessings from God, as you go to Bible school, you're going to need to have preparation. Prepare your heart. And obviously there's been preparation for a number of weeks. And then you need to engage yourself. And you need to persevere. And you need to finish your course. And I have a number of points here I want to look at. There are three word sentences, if you want to call them sentences, that I want to look at. I have a number of them. I'm going to move through them. And I like the Bible school students to write them down. If you have a pen and paper, write them down. If you can take notes. And I like you to have them in your Bible. And I like you, if you have opportunity, just refresh yourself at Bible school on the different points I give you. Number one is put God first. And you can go to Exodus. There's a lot of scriptures we could look at, but we're going to keep it simple and straight to the point. But Exodus 20, verse 1 through 3, it says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And Egypt is a type of sin, type of the flesh. And he's saying, I delivered you. We as Christians, he said, I've delivered you from Egypt. I've brought you out of the house of bondage, out of the house of guilt. I've given you freedom. But he says, then in verse 3, he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, going to Bible school creates a lot of peer pressure. And it's very easy to allow peer pressure to come first before God. And I just want to remind you that Bible says, put God first at all times. Don't allow peer pressure to run your life at Bible school or even here. It's good for all of us. We have these pressures that come upon us. But he's saying, I delivered you from the house of bondage. I delivered you from Egypt. Now, I just want to remind you, there's only one God. Serve me. Put God first. It will make a difference. As you put God first, it will make a difference as how you engage in class. How you engage in participation in class. Paying attention. And being alert and receiving what the teacher has studied and has put energy into. Putting God first will make a difference in your engagement in class time and study period. Number two, give your all. Colossians 3:23 is a verse that goes along with that. It says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And usually we look at that verse and we think of our occupations and so forth. But I think we can apply it to Bible school. For an essence, for 3 weeks, that's going to be your occupation. That's what you're going to be building your energy into. And he says, give it all. Put your all into it. And I just have a little story here I want to read about how that was played out in a little Indian boy. And I want you to follow carefully. A missionary from India told about an army officer who stopped to have his shoes shined by a poor Indian boy on the street. The lad launched into his task with such enthusiasm and vigor that the man was utterly amazed. Instead of the ordinary slipshod performance with all too eagerly outstretched hand for a tip, the boy worked diligently until the leather sparkled with a brilliant luster. The officer asked, "Why are you taking so much time to polish my boots?" "Well, sir," was the reply, "last week Jesus came into my heart, and now I belong to him. Since then, every time I shine someone's shoes, I keep thinking they're his. So I do my very best I can. I want him to be pleased." True story. So I wanted, can we get that picture that since Jesus is in our hearts, we're working unto him? We're studying unto him. We're going to Bible school because of Jesus. And just think about it. When you're in class and when you're tempted to goof around and not be interested in what the teacher's saying, think about Jesus sitting beside you. And how would he feel? We forget, don't we? But he's there. Number three, to the Bible school students, honor your parents. Very simple, statement. Proverbs, there's a lot of Proverbs we can look at. We're just going to look at one verse, Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For there shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." You know, there's a number of young ones going to Bible school. And there's something about being away from parents. Sometimes you think that you can just kind of let loose a little bit. I want to remind you that going to Bible school doesn't negate what your parents taught you and your desires. It doesn't cancel out or make it invalid. And every parent wants to hear the vibes coming from Bible school. The Bible school is going well. The students are applying themselves and things are going well. We like to hear that. But I just want to remind you, honor your parents. Very simple. It's in Scripture. We could look at many more Scriptures. We'll keep moving. Number four, ask for wisdom. James chapter 1 says that if we ask for wisdom, he'll give us wisdom. James 1 verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." You know, there's something I appreciated about that verse where it talks about that God upbraideth not. It means that he doesn't give wisdom grudgingly, or he doesn't do it with fault finding. You know, sometimes in our relationships, somebody will ask us a question and we'll say, "Well, don't you know that? You should know that already. I told you before. I mean, how long do you have to be here and you don't still have that answer?" And that's how sometimes we can relate, and that's sometimes how we can feel. That's not God. God says, when you ask for wisdom, he's not going to say, "Well, I taught you before. I'm not going to tell you again. You figure it out." But he said, "I'm going to give you wisdom because you asked for it." And that Bible school is a wonderful place to do that. You know, a proud, self-sufficient person don't ask for wisdom. James 3, verse 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." And all those aspects would be do well at Bible school as you relate to each other. Peaceable and gentle, easy to be entreated, so on. You have wisdom, Bible school is a good place to ask for it. Number five, hear God's word. Mark chapter 4 is a verse that I read over many times, but I never really comprehended what it meant. But Mark chapter 4, verse 24 is a very interesting verse. It says, "And he said unto them," Jesus speaking, "take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given." And I want to read this verse in the Amplified. You listen carefully what he's saying here. "And he said unto them, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And the more besides will be given to you who hear." So I want to tell you, hear God's word. The measure that you hear God's word is what's going to come back to you. You know, you can hear and not listen. And it's so important that when we hear God's word, that we're listening and we're paying attention and we're engaging in that conversation. And he's saying, how you engage yourself will make a difference in what comes back to you. It'll make a difference how you come home from Bible school. It's very possible that you could go to Bible school and go through the classes and hear the teacher and learn absolutely nothing. Have you ever went to a test and wish you would have paid more attention in class time? When we were in school, obviously we did. Test time came and we're like, you know what? I didn't pay attention in class time. Especially then we do those quick quizzes. They would do a class time instruction and do a quiz at the end. And you're like, you know what? I wasn't paying attention. And so it's very important that you hear God's word. Now, just a reminder again that it's an opportunity. And it's very sobering to think of this. How many times have we missed the opportunity to hearing God's word and we left it go over top? But if we live a lifetime of that, I believe there's a time coming that God's going to say, you know, and you may say, well, I never knew this. I didn't know that I was to live this way. And God's going to say, it was taught at Bible school. It was taught at Pilgrim Mennonite Bible school. It was taught at Swatara's pulpit. You heard it. It was taught. I was there. But you didn't hear. You didn't pay attention. Being present doesn't mean we hear. Number 6, never stop learning. There's a verse, Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Never stop learning. You know, when we have that attitude, we discover that we need people in our lives because we learn a lot from each other. You know, you go to Bible school and there's teachers there, there's people there your age, there's all different walks of life, and you need every one of them. And it says a wise man will hear. He will pay attention to the teachings of the class. He will never stop learning. We're always in the school of life. The older we get, the more we realize that we need to learn more. That's how it is. And it's very important for young people to hold on to that truth that they desire to learn. Because it's very, very tempting for young people to feel like they know it. I was there at one time feeling like, well, I know, I understand. The older you get, the more you discover you didn't understand. So keep that attitude of desiring to learn. Number 7, put others first. You know, as you move among people, it's important to put others first. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and so on. We could read further, but we won't. But we have, you know, living with others in close proximity, most times it reveals our own selfishness. It's amazing how you discover how your friends can irritate you, but it's only revealing my own selfishness as you live close together. So putting others first is very important. Number 8, do not gossip. Ephesians 4:29. Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, it's so important as you live together with a group of people that you don't get caught up in the idea of or in that trap of gossiping or speaking against somebody, or maybe another fellow student does something or says something that maybe isn't quite fitting for the occasion. It's very easy to pick that up and spread it to your friends, and that's not what Scripture teaches. Don't gossip. Be friends. Only speak words that you would like. Only speak words that you would like somebody to speak about you privately. Only speak those kind words. Number 9, don't be foolish. You may say, why are you talking about that? Well, I know how it can be. I was there at one time. And sometimes you get together and you think, and you come up with things maybe you shouldn't do, and you do it anyway. Proverbs 10, verse 14, it says, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of foolishness is near destruction. Another one is 12:23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of the fools proclaim is foolishness. Number Proverbs 15:14, and we could look at a number of verses where it talks about foolishness. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. So don't be foolish at Bible school. You can have a good time with your friends, but be wise and learn what God has for you. Take a stand. Number 10, take a stand. I talked about peer pressure. And sometimes maybe there's going to be a suggestion that comes up to do something or engage in something that you know you shouldn't. You know you shouldn't do this. And that peer pressure is there. And I want to encourage you to take a stand for truth. Take a stand for what's right. Be that positive peer pressure. And you know, it's amazing how that can happen. Maybe somebody will make a suggestion that they engaging in something that they know they shouldn't. And you can say, nah, we're not going to do that. And another person will say, you know, you're right. We don't want to do that. And that, being that positive peer pressure can make Bible school a positive time, an encouraging time, a time that makes it easy for those, the administration. Another one is follow the rules. 2 Timothy 2, verse 5. Second Timothy 2, verse 5, it says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You know, if you want to have a good Bible school term, follow the rules. Masteries, this word means in competitive games. You know, if you have a game and you're playing and the other team breaks the rules, we say that's not fair. And we don't even want to give them credit for winning. If that other team wins, but you know they broke the rules, we don't give them the credit, do we? Absolutely not. So if you go to Bible school and you follow the rules and you respect the teachers, respect the administration, there's a blessing that goes along with that. There's a crown that goes along with that. There's a blessing in this life. You can have good feelings. You don't have to come home with guilt. You don't have to feel like, well, I hope my dad don't find out. I hope my mother don't find out what we did. But you can come home with freedom. No guilt. And know that you played by the rules. You obeyed. And he says you'll receive a crown. Remember Floyd Landis. He was a man that grew up in our neighborhood in Farmersville. Back in 2006, he won the Tour de France. That's a bicycle ride. And he won. But later he was stripped of that title because he used performance-enhancing drugs. He didn't play by the rules. He fell back. And that's on his record. Now, in the kingdom of heaven, once you receive the crown of life at the end of life, it's not going to be stripped from us. It can happen in this life. You can receive a blessing. You can receive a blessing from the Lord, and you can be faithful, but we can lose that by losing out. And that can be stripped from us, and we can look at scriptures for that. But follow the rules, and you'll receive a blessing. And it says, and do it lawfully. Number 12, do not oversleep. Pretty easy one. Proverbs 6, verse 9 to 11, talks about the sluggard. We're just going to turn there. Proverbs 6. Talks about that person that wants a little bit more sleep. And you know what? This whole sleep thing has to do with when we start to sleep. When we go to bed has a lot to do with it. Proverbs 6, verse 9, he says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth and thy want as an armed man. You know, I think they have lights out, quiet time, supposed to be Bible school. And they do that for a reason. Respect that. It's very simple. Get your sleep so you can engage in class time. Remember, this is an opportunity that God has given you and you can't erase it. If you go to Bible school and your focus is to have a good time at night and to be foolish and to be careless and not apply yourself, you're missing an opportunity that God gave you to grow in your Christian life and to be faithful and drive those stakes down of consistency and obedience. You're missing that opportunity and God will hold you accountable. We can't remove that. It'd be better for you not to go if you have that focus or that desire. Well, number 13, always give thanks. Ephesians 5, you know, being grateful and thankful at Bible school is very important. And at times you can focus on the things that you wish were different or improved. But being grateful, verse 19 of Ephesians 5, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And you're going to do that at Bible school. You're going to sing and enjoy singing together. And it says, verse 12, or 20, give thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a group of people that murmur and complain can really, really dampen the enthusiasm. It really, really can. Be that person that gives encouragement. Be that positive person of gratefulness. And truly we're blessed. Truly we have many things to be thankful for. You know, actually I believe it's a sin to complain and to murmur and be ungrateful. We look at the example of in the Old Testament of the children of Israel and how they murmured and complained and God met their needs. And they still murmured and complained because they wanted things different than God provided. And what happened? They got destroyed many times. Gratefulness will put you into the position to grow in your Christian life. It will help you to be more than conqueror. We can be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. In closing, so if you have preparation, you engage yourself, you persevere. There's times that you're going to have failure. There's times you're going to make mistakes. Just like those rock climbers, there's times they made headway only to fall back down and start over again. That happens in our walk of life. But we need that perseverance. We need to get up. And there's other people that want to help us. They want to encourage us. And then we need to finish the course. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. May God bless you. May God bless every one of us as we engage ourselves in spiritual growth and as we experience being more than conquerors, overcoming evil with good. May God bless you as students as you go. Our prayers are going to be with you. We trust you. We know that you desire to do what's right. But we also realize that there's peer pressure and there's human nature that's with us, that goes with us to Bible school. And you're going to face temptation there just to be careless and be indifferent. And I just want to encourage you, you don't need to yield to those temptations. You can be faithful. You can be more than conqueror. And you can come back with spiritual growth and a testimony. May God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.